I would like to talk to you a little bit tonight about Raja Yoga. And I want to read just one verse out of St. Matthew chapter 19, verse 12. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be made eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Now when it says what it does there, it is speaking of the fact that some give up their own personal love's sake, their love life, for God's sake. They are so engrossed in their love affair with the Christ, by whatever name he is called, that they are not interested in pursuing a worldly love life. Now these are few indeed. There are so many people that think that when they put their feet upon the spiritual path, that it means to stop living. Instead, it means to stop dying. Because you are constantly dying when you keep yourself in the consciousness of the world. It fluctuates back and forth, up and down. You have cares, you have troubles and joys and sorrows, pain, suffering, perfect health. You have love and then you don't have it. You have this and you don't have it. And constantly you are in this state of fluctuation. So to really live means to be centered in your real self. Now this doesn't mean that you have to wear sackcloth and ashes and go on a starvation diet. It doesn't mean that you have to wear but one cloth on your body, nor that you cannot enjoy the reasonable comforts of life and of living. In everything that I teach you balance, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, every way. Because I do not want you unbalanced. I have realized my oneness with God, and yet I am in total balance between the human and the divine. I live in the heart of one while I enjoy the other. I play, I laugh, I work, I rest. I do all of the things that anybody does who has not yet found the realization of their oneness with God. But always my whole being, my consciousness, is centered in Him, regardless of seeming appearance. I am deprived of nothing in the human sense, in the worldly sense. But there is one thing that we must all remember, and that is that when we truly put our feet upon the path that leads to God realization, that we must use discretion, judgment in all that we do. In other words, we live a life which is neither too much of this nor too little of that. Life is to be used but not abused, and that extends to every single thing that we do. There are many who think that they must observe absolute continence. They must be absolute celibates if they are going to attain the realization of their oneness with God. And this is not the truth. What you want to do is not to repress or suppress the life energy, but rather to transmute it, to sublimate it, to use that power within yourself for something higher. But if you totally repress or suppress this inherent urge which is in every human being, it will bring trouble physically, mentally, emotionally, and therefore spiritually. Now, this is not to say that this gives you the right to go out and break any one of the Ten Commandments, because it does not. But there are ways of doing that, and we are learning to do them. But the greatest way to do it is to keep your attention centered upon God. Now, in order to do that, you must still the mind, because it is this mind that causes us all the trouble. Everything originates in the mind. And therefore, as the mind thinks certain thoughts, it incites the senses and creates desires within those senses. Now, this Raja Yoga is the royal yoga. Raja means king. This is what Ramana Maharshi taught, because he had the certain knowledge that if the individual asked himself the question, "Who am I?" that he would go to the center of his being and find out that he was not the person, the individual, the body, the mind, the soul, but he was that infinite power, that infinite presence, that which existed before all creation. Who am I? Now, in order to fix your attention upon God, you must compose yourself. Just because you go to church and you say prayers and you raise your hands and say, "Praise the Lord," this doesn't give you God realization. Because the realization of your oneness with God comes within the sanctuary of your own soul. Jesus himself was the greatest exponent of this when he said, "Seek ye first God and his kingdom, and then all of these other things shall be added unto you." And this is the truth. First and foremost, you, the real you, is God, that is surrounded, encompassed, encased, imprisoned, if you will, in a human form. So in order to do that, you must be, and to go within, you must sit in a certain way. You must learn to shut off your thoughts, quiet all of the senses, and fix your attention only upon him. Now, in the East, they sit either in the full lotus posture, which is called the Padasana, or they sit in a half lotus posture, which is called Siddhasana. Now, the Siddha, the reason that they sit in the full lotus posture is because Padasana means the lotus. And so when the legs are brought together and find and lock one into the other, it puts the body in complete and perfect balance. In a sense, it stops the current from circulating in the legs, and therefore the blood supply courses through the body evenly, not being distributed to the legs, and the heart doesn't have to work as hard as it would otherwise when you are not in that position. And that makes sense. So you will see many of the yogis in this full lotus posture, and when they sit in that position, it is not necessary for them to have anything under them, under the seat. But if you sit in the Siddhasana position, then you must always have a pillow underneath the buttocks, because otherwise, because the knees are up, the back is thrown backward, and you become very uncomfortable. And it is most important that you feel totally comfortable. The spine, which is such an important instrument in the work of your God realization, must at all times be kept straight but relaxed. Always you must have the woolen blanket underneath you. If you are sitting in a chair, then you must have it in back of the chair, and it must extend all the way under you and under your feet, because this cuts off the gravitational pull from the earth. You must have your own private place, your own private room for worship, or if that is not possible, your own private chair. That place which every time you think of, makes you think of God. No one else must use your woolen blanket because you are building your own spiritual vibration there. And as you sit there day after day, morning and evening, and you meditate upon God, you build into that blanket the vibration from your body so that when you are disturbed in any way, if you will go and sit on that blanket, you will find that immediately your pressures will be relieved. So this is very important. You can use anything in the way of pictures of the Christ, of the Masters, flowers, incense, candles. These are the steps to help the initiate, the novitiate, the one who is just beginning on the path, because these items produce the idea or the thought of worship. Now tonight, I want to tell you about this royal yoga because it is truly royal. It is the greatest of all yogas and it encompasses all else, because this yoga takes you to the King, the Christ, the Krishna, the Buddha, the Tao within yourself. You will find that when you start to meditate upon the self, it is not exactly easy. We have the symbol of the thousand-petal lotus, which is given to us by India. And sometimes in the center of this lotus is pictured a man. And he is filled with radiance, which extends beyond his own body. And he is called Ishvara, or Krishna in India. In the early medieval ages, the mystics used to think of this same expression of the self, the unfolding of the self, in the form of a rose. And in the center of that rose, they saw the mystic Christ. Now, each one has his own concept, whether it be of Krishna, of Ishvara, of Christ, of the Buddha, which the Chinese call Dao. They're all speaking of this one same life, God within each form that has come to this earth. Each form, not just one, but every single one. And it is man's destiny. It is his only destiny to find that real self and become one with it. All of the other things which he is destined to do, or which he feels are his destiny, are encompassed in this one thing, that he must find his union with God. But man in the beginning chooses to live in darkness and ignorance in which he was born, and he is not always willing to give up the pleasures of the flesh in order to accomplish this purpose. And he does not know that he is punishing himself beyond anything that can be described, because he is keeping himself from bliss, from joy, from prosperity, from complete supply, from power, beauty, everything that you want to think about. But many do not go because they are afraid. I remember once in class, a woman stood up and asked Master, as he was talking about doing the things necessary to attain the realization of your oneness with God. And she said, "But isn't this path of yoga dangerous?" She said, "I have heard that people go crazy when they do that." And he looked at her and he said, "No one ever went crazy trying to reach their God realization unless this was first in their destiny, where they were already headed. The crazy ones are the ones that refuse to go, that are afraid to go. These are the ones who live in constant fear, in constant trembling." And he said, "No way is that true. God will protect you every inch of the way. He will supply everything and everyone you need when it is time for you to go through that experience which is called the crucifixion, or the mystical death. Now, it is not good to starve the body, so too much fasting is not good. It is good to have a day of fast once in a while, once a week, or maybe two or three a month. It is a good thing. It is a bad thing to overeat. You must have continence in all things. You must not overwork. You must not oversleep. You must not be overwakeful. All of these things keep you from realizing your oneness with God. In other words, I'm telling you this, that just to be the highest of that which is possible for you to be each moment of your life, as you keep your full consciousness upon God, enjoying the realization of your oneness with Him, enjoying all of the good things of His earthly kingdom, of living a normal, balanced life, will, if you will persist, take you to the realization of your oneness with God. Now, it requires patience. It requires perseverance. It requires total dedication. But it doesn't require retiring from life while you do it, but rather of learning to live life in the proper way, of developing new habit patterns, not of depriving yourself of pleasure, but of changing the type of pleasure that you would like to enjoy. This is most important to remember, that we are both human and divine. Most of us have not yet discovered our divinity, and this is what keeps us in a world of misery, and that world is of our own making, because of our state of lethargy, because of our fears, because of many, many things. We put everything first before ourselves. Now, we think we put ourselves first, but when the consciousness is on this little human self, it is not on the real self, which is God within you. Did you ever stop to think that every thought is like the serpent that is spoken of in the Bible? Because every thought takes you away from the consciousness of the self. Because as long as you are thinking a thought, you are not centered in your very self. Because you are thinking of that which encases the self. You are thinking of yourself as a thing, something outside of the self. When you come to perfect realization of your oneness with the self, you rest in that. It is beyond all duality. Think of yourself and still be one with yourself, because you are the one who is thinking. You are outside of that self, and as long as you think of that self, you are not in a state of being. You must become that which you seek for, which you long for, which you search for. Now, people, when they put their feet upon the path and they try to center in on their real self, find that, again, like the thousand-petal lotus, there are many, many petals which must be opened up before they can come to that real self. And some of them get discouraged, and they will find all sorts of excuses for themselves. It's too hard, they are afraid, this and that and the other thing. They don't have time. But your most important engagement is with God, because He is your real self, your very self. And without Him, you are merely like a robot walking the earth. You have to learn to still your thoughts. And the thing to do that, the way to do this, is to get into this position which I have spoken of. Today, take a deep breath, let it out, and relax. And then, instead of thinking all of the thoughts about you want to attain God, you want to go to God. Instead of thinking the thoughts will help you to envision what you think they are, take your thoughts away from everything and place them right in the center of your heart, which is your real self. Many people, when they want to refer to themselves, point to themselves over the heart center, because that's where the self really is. So if you will consciously withdraw your thoughts from everything else and think of a state of being right in the center of your heart, you will find that a great change takes place within you. The heart is not only the center of love, it is the center of life. Every single part of your body is drawn together in that one life center there. That is yourself. And in order to escape from this body prison, this guardian knot which holds all of the forces in your body encased in the heart, tied to it, must be unloosened. And then gradually, as the consciousness is released from each one of the three bodily jars, the physical, the astral, and the causal, or the idea body, this release comes. You go through various experiences, and I have described many of these experiences. Although each one has his own, the way is the same. It is the way of the spine and the brain. Now, every mystic the world over knows that this is true, that the indwelling presence within is centered in the heart. And they know that everything must be stopped, because when you are thinking any thought, you are thinking of creation. And you must, and you are the creature, so you must be centered and realize that you are the creator. This is a tremendous thing to realize. Now, I would like all of you to focus your attention on the tip of the nose, or on the end of the nose, I should say, right here, on the end of the nose. This is the tip here, the beginning of it, the root. The end of the nose. Put your full attention there. This shows you how you can make your mind work, how you can have control. Now, I would like you to withdraw your attention from that spot and put it right in the center of your head, right smack in the center of your head. Now, withdraw it from there and put it at the place just below the skull, the medulla. That's the vacant spot. Oh, you have cleaned your nodes, N-O-D-E-S, as you do that. Now, again, focus your full attention right in the center of your head. Look straight ahead into that Christ center, that light of your own being. Feel that light, visualize that light as going all through your brain. There's a tremendous electrical force there. It is dual in nature, the positive and the negative. It is a two-edged sword which came into your body, as the Christ said. Now visualize that light again at the medulla, then at the cervical center, then at the dorsal or the heart center, then at the lumbar, then the sacrum, then the coccygeal center at the base of the spine. Now see that great light flowing all through your spine, and then watch it as it extends into each part of the body over which it has control, filling it with this tremendous light, this tremendous power, this tremendous energy, this tremendous intelligence, because it goes to work in the intelligence which directs it, takes care of all of the functions over which these spinal centers have jurisdiction. See your whole body filled with this light. Take a deep breath and let it out. Now gently tense your whole body. Low, medium, high. Now tense with will gently. And then relax and let go all of it. Feeling that this power, this light, has healed you. That it has regenerated all of the body cells, all of the organs. Now place your full attention, your full concentration, right in the center of your heart. Let go of every single thought. Rest in Him, who is that indwelling presence in your heart. Who was before all thought, before all form, before all breath, before everything, He was. This is your true self. You go beyond thought. You go beyond feeling. This is why you can never reach God by reading, by thinking, by doing anything else, except by finally accomplishing a state of being. I am that I am. Now let us sit and meditate for a few moments on this heart center, letting go of every thought except the state of being. I am that I am. It's not such an easy thing to do, is it? You find that those petals which enclose the jewel are not willing to open so easily. And you find the thought, I am thinking of myself as being in the center of my heart. But that one who is thinking of itself as being in the center of the heart is not the self. That is the human ego. That is the pseudo-self. And in order to find the heart of your true self, all of the petals of the lotus have to open. It takes work. It takes practice to bring yourself to the point where you neither work nor practice, but where you are. Before creation was, God is. And all that comes forth in this world of duality, while it is an expression of Himself, it is not He Himself. The world is God, is like, as I have explained to you many times before, you have one body in which all of the cells, all of the organs, everything that is necessary to make this body function are given to you. They're being made use of every moment of your life without any conscious effort on your part, except for the outer movements of the body. But everything else is going on constantly. You do not do that. That indwelling presence does that. But still, it is one body. It is the one. But God was even before the form of the one. And it is from that nothingness, so to speak, in which is contained the everythingness, that this whole creation came into being. When you can come to the point where you have gotten the courage to surrender your love, yourself, your family, every possession that you have at the feet of God, not caring about anything, being willing to die this mystical death for Him, then the experiences which He finds necessary for you to have will be given unto you. You cannot escape it. He who will save his life shall lose it. Every single one of us will die one day without exception. So there's no use in withholding. There's no use in holding back for fear that we might die if we try to get God realization. We'll die if we don't. But he who shall lose his life, that is the life which he thinks is his, this human life, for my name's sake shall have life everlasting. We've talked about this on Sunday. And you will realize that you are not the body, that even though you've gone through this mystical death, still you live. Through God's grace, you've retained the body. But gradually it is completely purified. It is completely changed. It is filled with the light and the love and the power and the bliss of God. Every moment it is filled with the bliss of God. Every moment. When you come to the point where you can live in this world but be not of it, where you have your head in heaven and your feet on the earth, you are a totally balanced, not human being anymore, but a God person. But it doesn't mean that you are not human. I am the living evidence of this sitting before you. And those who have been, of you who have been with me intimately, know that I have a greater sense of humor, perhaps, than many of you have known. They know that I have more fun than anyone. They know that I live life to the fullest, only I live it in harmony with God's laws. I wanted to read something to you here. From the Upanishads. He who dwells in the earth and within the earth, whom the earth does not know, whose body the earth is, and who rules the earth within. He is thy real self, the ruler within, the immortal. He who dwells in the heaven and within the heaven, whom the heaven does not know, whose body is the heaven, and who rules the heaven within, he is thyself, the ruler within, the immortal. He who dwells in light, and within the light, whom the light does not know, whose body the light is, and who rules the light within, he is thyself, the ruler within, the immortal. He who dwells in the breath, and within the breath, whom the breath does not know, whose body the breath is, and who rules the breath within, he is thyself, the ruler within, the immortal. He who dwells in the mind, and within the mind, whom the mind does not know, whose body the mind is, and who rules the mind within, he is thyself, the ruler within, the immortal. He who dwells in knowledge and within knowledge, whom knowledge does not know, pardon me, whose body knowledge is, and who rules knowledge within. He is thyself, the ruler within, the immortal. Unseen, but seen. Unheard, but hearing. Unperceived, but perceiving. Unknown, but knowing. There is no other seer, but he. There is no other hearer, but he. There is no other perceiver, but he. There is no other knower, but he. This is thyself, the ruler within, the immortal. Now you can liken it to this example. For instance, you can sit on the bank of a lake and you can look at that lake and you can see the ripples and the waves of that lake. And you can think that it's H2O, it has made up of two chemical substances. But you are not that lake, you are looking at the lake. You can take the temperature of the lake. But if you go into the lake and you wade into it, you swim in it, you're still not the lake itself. You must, if you are to be in a state of being, which the lake is in substance, then you too must turn to water. It is the same way with fire. You can sit out into the forest and make a big bonfire. And as you watch it, you observe the tremendous blaze coming from the logs that you put together and that you have lit, and there's a fire burning there. And you can see certain sparks that fly from that fire. But these sparks are not the fire itself. Neither are you that fire, as long as you are observing it. But when you become one with that fire, when all that is within you that you feel is separate from God, is burned, and you become the fire itself, then you have attained that state of being. Do I make myself clear? You must be that. But you don't get that way by fighting life. You don't get that way by fighting yourself, by berating yourself, by being frightened, but by flowing with life, by fixing your full attention upon God every moment that you are awake, of serving Him, of adoring Him, of realizing that He alone exists and you are that, that it is He who moves and lives and breathes and has this being which you have always called your own. He Himself. You serve Him, and yet He does all things through you and for you. And when you put these two together into the one, then, as I have said to you so many times before, this Christ consciousness, this Christ power, this Christ intelligence flows through you constantly, all of your waking times and even when you are asleep, just like oil flowing out of a barrel. And you have no more responsibility because you have in truth surrendered yourself fully to the Lord. You have become your real self, which is to say, God Himself. The saying that the Hindus have is so beautiful. Blessed Spirit, I am He. Because that is the true self. And it seems such a shame that in our Orthodox churches we are not taught this truth, but rather the whole attention has been centered on the Christ in one man who lived 2,000 years ago, instead of the Christ who lives in every man, who has said that He is with us always. That one who is the head of the church, the body. He is the supreme one in every single form. And each man comes with the Savior who is going to be crucified. And that Savior is the Son of Man. But He is the Spirit within man. And he knows that this sense of separation, this idea of separation, must go. That his humanness must go. If he is to realize his oneness with God and become the anointed one, the Christed one, that one who is filled with the light and the radiance of God. What a tremendous thing it is when we take our courage in our hands, when we cease being sniveling cowards, and our love for God is so great that we are willing to sacrifice everything we are and everything we have on the altar of our love for Him. No one who is not willing to do that can say that he truly loves God, that he serves God. No one. But coming to that point is a gradual process. When you first put your feet upon the path, it is impossible for you, unless you have come with a great deal from another incarnation, to be sucked in that securely right now. So you make every effort. You go to various teachers. You start reading spiritual books and the scriptures. And you start comparing. But the same truth is in every scripture. The same Christ is in every scripture. He is just called by a different name because of the difference in the languages of the people. God certainly didn't create one part of humanity and say, this part is mine alone, because they believe in Jesus the Christ. And having created another people in another clime, another nation, who cannot speak the language and perhaps who have never heard the word Christ, say, these are not mine. Because God is everywhere equally present. He is omnipresent. It is His power alone who rules this world. It is His wisdom alone that exists in every single form. So we must get this universal concept. We must make ourselves one. First, with the Christ within ourselves, who will take us. He is the bridegroom, and through our marriage to Him, He will take us to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth to the Father except through me. Through that state of Christ consciousness, that first and only begotten Son in every man, and in all of the universe. All of the universe. Because we are the perfect replica, the microcosmic part of that macrocosmic whole. And we are complete in ourselves. And as I have told you, when you find this radiance within yourself, when you are lifted up into the mountain of your own being, and you experience the bliss of His infinite presence, when you go beyond all duality, when you go beyond the mind, which you must, because it is that mind, actually, which is a satanic force within you. It is that mind which keeps the human ego operating through the senses with all of its temptations at all times. There was a man wrote a letter to me today, and he had been talking to, I thought I brought it with me, but I didn't, talking to one of the center leaders, whom he considers a very great soul. And she asked him what he thought about temptation. That if he had been tempted to do something in the past, now that he had put his feet on the spiritual path, what kept him from going back into the same temptation that he had succumbed to before? And he made this statement. It is a very simple thing. I could not possibly do it, because I could not stand the suffering I would bring upon myself, the guilty feeling that I would bring upon myself, because I couldn't live with that anymore. I am tired of living with feelings of guilt, of feelings of suffering. And if I, now knowing the difference between right and wrong, I now knowing the path to God, were to revert and succumb to the temptations that were formerly put before me, which I had succumbed to, I would feel horrible. I don't like to feel that way. I like to feel free. I like to feel filled with the joy and the bliss of serving God, of loving Him. Now, if everyone were to feel that way, there'd be very little of what we call sin or separation in the world. And what we're aiming for is not to take away life or the living of life from any human being, to make them a sterile object so that they have nothing except just this one thing. This many times is called the path of sainthood. Rather, we want them to expand their consciousness, to learn to live life in balance, to fully enjoy it, because it is the Father, their Father's good pleasure to give them all of the good things of the kingdom, both of heaven and of earth, to feel the joy of their union with Him, of feeling the awareness that every moment of their lives, it is He who is, in fact, the I Am within them that is doing everything, every single thing. And that He is doing it through everyone else, even though they may still be living in a state of ignorance and darkness. That He alone exists. That He is the real and the only immutable, everlasting Self. God, how wonderful it is that He has come to this earth, which He created, and has made Himself the infinite center, the infinite intelligence, the infinite power in every form which has been created. How beautiful, how wonderful. So in everything that I teach you, I want to break down barriers. I want to get rid of false concepts. I want us to be all one in Him. I want everybody to be brothers and sisters of the one, and realize that they have the one Father God. I want us to do away with all sense of racial consciousness, of all sense of religious difference, of all of the hang-ups that have been built through the centuries, that I and what I think am better than what you are and what you think, that my religion is better than yours. God is in every religion. But you come to that final path when your consciousness extends beyond all of the orthodox religions, where you want to be free. You are no longer willing to be bound in any way, but you want to reach out for just God alone. God. Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty,
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of Thy glorious presence,
of Thy glorious presence
in every part of my being,
in every part of me.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet
and surrender myself to Thee.
And surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
I feel the power of Thy perfection
surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence
are radiant with Thy healing light.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with Thee.
Of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see Thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see Thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May Thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever
upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.